Job chapter 1. And we will read the whole chapter. Again, the word of God. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From walking to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand thou, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Thus far the reading of God's word. Dear congregation, it is such a gift to receive children. And we receive them, and we don't know how long we will have them. That was also for Job, wasn't it? He received children and they grew up. And most of them may have been out of the house already. And then suddenly he received that news. All 10 children died. And we can't imagine what that must have been for Job. But there's always that aspect, not only of the grief and the loss and everything else, but an aspect of looking back, what have I been as a parent? If suddenly one of your children would die, would you think, oh, I always meant to? Oh, if only I could still just speak. I'm sure Job also had those things that he regretted. But it's striking that the God, the Holy Spirit, draws attention to what was there in terms of his raising of his children. And that's what we find in verse 5. We don't know so much about Job's life before this great disaster struck. But we know he is one who feared God and hated evil in verse 1. And that showed also in how he related to his children. And that's our text also of this morning. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And so we listen prayerfully to God's grace in Father Job. God's grace in Father Job. 3 points. First, his spiritual concern. Second, his spiritual cleansing. And third, his spiritual consistency. God's grace in Father Job, his spiritual concern, his spiritual cleansing, and his spiritual consistency. Our text draws attention especially to the feasting. That's already in verse 4. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one on his day. And they also invited their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And we can wonder why, of all the things that happened during all those years, are his attention drawn to their feasting? Is that because they just lived to feast, lived to party? Job doesn't rebuke them for their feasting. Job doesn't say, and he doesn't rebuke them because he's one of those parents who think, well, boys will just be boys, and I was also young once, and I also partied once, and so what can I say? Just let them go ahead? No. Job also wasn't a parent like Eli who refused to correct his children? No. He did not rebuke their feasting because he did not see anything wrong with their feasting in itself. Instead, he was concerned that they may have sinned during their feasting, not in the feasting itself. Because food is a gift of God to be enjoyed. And of course, there is a danger of making a god of your belly. And there is a danger of excess drinking. And there is a danger of wasting money on feasting. But God has given us taste buds. And he has given a variety of foods. And we may be content with food enough to sustain our health. But we may also enjoy the good gifts that God gives in life. And needn't feel bad to give our children a treat. To have a good meal, to be with others. And that's actually the beautiful thing about it, is that it wasn't just about eating and drinking, it was about coming together and enjoying one another's company. They wanted to be together as brothers and sisters. And notice that it says, his sons, each on their day, and they called the three sisters, all of his sons together with the sisters. There are not conflicts and fightings and gossip and grudges that divide these children. There is a love for one another, a desire to be together. And they took turns in each other's homes. The boys are mentioned first. It could be that the girls were still in their parental home, whereas the boys had their own homes already. But whatever the case, they take turns sharing in the work, hosting. And isn't that a beautiful sight to see brothers and sisters together with a bond? Isn't that a joy for parents? Joy for young parents when little children get along and they play nicely and they're kind. A joy for parents of older ones in the home when they get along. A joy also for grandparents when they see their children, well, of their own homes, and yet they get along so well. It's a great gift. Something to be so thankful for. When you may see that in your family. Then you say, if they get along well, then everything's well. But Job didn't go that far. Even as he saw them getting along well and enjoying themselves together, he had a spiritual concern for them. Sometimes there's parents who say, yeah, my children are so kind to me, they're so loving, and so, yeah, they don't go to church, and they don't, but God so provides for them. It's almost as if that's all that matters in life. But Job has a spiritual concern for his children. What will it profit if they get along well, but if there's still something between them and God? What will it profit if they have a nice time, but if God is dishonored in the midst of it all? And he recognizes, perhaps my sons, he says, have sinned. Wherever they go, whatever they do, he has this ongoing concern about the sin in his children. He views them with eyes of spiritual concern. Is it to the honor of God or is it not? Even if people don't come to him and say, oh, you heard what your children were up to, you heard what they said and what they did, even if there's none of that, he still has this spiritual concern about whether they are sinning. And it's striking also that he says, and have cursed God in their hearts. He is concerned especially about their heart sin. He's not a parent who is only concerned that outwardly the children do the right thing, especially when the eyes of other people are upon them. And so that if others are in the home, all of a sudden everyone has to be really good, and otherwise it doesn't matter. Or if their rumors go about their child being rebellious, then they feel so ashamed because it makes them look bad as parents. And in the meantime, they cover over that sin as much as they can. No, Job has a concern about their hearts. It may be they have cursed God in their hearts. That word for curse is the same word that's used for blessing, actually. Barach. It's used in several times to express curse, perhaps for this reason, that when people would leave one another, they would express blessing. In other words, they would wish them well. They would say farewell. And in our word farewell, there's something of a wish of blessing, but at the same time, you're leaving that person. And so for these children to to bless God is actually for them to say farewell to God in their hearts. That's what he's so concerned about. That in their hearts they would turn away from God and they would forget God in the midst of all their enjoyment of a nice time together. Children, parents, do we share this spiritual concern for our children? Not just about their outward conduct in front of others, but their heart. A concern about sin. Whether you're afraid that they're in bad company, or whether you trust they're in good company, whether you're afraid they're in bad places, or whether you know they're in a good place, but that you have this ongoing spiritual concern about the sinfulness of their hearts showing itself. As parents, sometimes we can just be content with the outward. And maybe that's exactly the danger. When we're only content with certain outward staying kind of in the way, then so easily that outer shell can then break and we can be shocked with what direction they go. Because we've only been concerned about the outward. Job is concerned about their heart. And a deep concern about sin. And how shall we have this spiritual concern about sin in our children unless we ourselves have a spiritual concern about the sin in ourselves? Unless we ourselves discover the sinfulness of sin and the desperate wickedness of our own hearts. How did Job know that those children may have said farewell to God in their hearts? It's because Job knew his own heart. And he knew his own waywardness. And his own proneness to go the wrong way and forget God. And he knew, can an unclean thing bring into being a clean? No. That's why he had this concern, because God had shown him his own heart. Isn't that so essential also for us as parents? For us to know ourselves. And have that fear ourselves of our own hearts. And so also to fear about the hearts of our children. And have a concern. Congregation, may God bind upon us. There's nothing in the world to be afraid of more than sin. Nothing else is worse than sin. My sin, your sin, our sin as parents, our sin as children. And where is that concern to lead us? You see, in the second point, the grace of God in Job shows in this spiritual cleansing. Realizing they had a sinful heart like him, he didn't just warn them, don't be disobedient. Don't do that. Do the other thing. He does more. Of course, Job had rules. As parents, we need rules that are according to God's law. And we need to enforce those rules. And we need to say, you may not. And you must. And also expect that. Because God himself gives us his law. That's so important. But all the rules that we make and all the commands of God that we pass on to our children will never cleanse a single heart. All the rules and all the law, as important as it is, will leave us with our sin. Job knew that. About his children And again, must we not say it's because he knew that about himself? That Job could no longer just live by do this and don't do that and try to fit in the molds. He needed more. Don't you as well? Need more than rules. Need more than law. What do you need? What do I need? Children, remember in catechism, a couple times lately we've dealt with that two parts of the Word of God. There's law, command, demanding obedience, and there's gospel of God's promise, calling for and giving faith. Job needed the gospel. Job needed grace. And he knew his children needed grace. And that is why we have here this focus on the sacrifice, which is about the gospel of God's grace. Do you see it? He sends his servants to his children, and he calls them to come to him. And he also sanctifies them. Maybe that messenger came with that command to come to their father because he would be offering up sacrifice, and that they were to prepare for that. They were to sanctify themselves in preparation for offering up those sacrifices. We find that, for example, of Jacob. When Jacob was called to go and make sacrifices in Bethel, then he gathered his family and he said, "Wash yourselves and put on clean clothes and put away the idols that are here, and we are about to go and sacrifice." That's something which is so important, isn't it? As a family as well, that we don't just rush into those duties. We're in the middle of laughing and talking and everything else at the dinner table. And okay, let's pray. But that we realize we're about to speak to the living God of glory. That there is that moment of preparation. That there is that preparation when we come to the Word of God, and that we realize we're about to listen to the Word of the living God of glory. Also, as we come to church, that there is that sense of preparation, that sense of to be sanctified, to be prepared, to come into the presence of God and to hear His words. And that children already realize that this is not just something to do. This is so special. And that God is holy. And that God will be sanctified in those who draw near to Him. Maybe He had sent that message the evening before. Be ready in the morning. And then early in the morning, without delay, He rose up. He didn't roll out of His bed late and first do His own things, and then maybe at the end of the day He still had a little bit of time. No, He rose up early in the morning to prepare Himself and to gather His family around for these sacrifices. Children, you could hear Job say, "We're here because I'm concerned about you. I have an unclean heart, and I'm afraid you do too, that you may have sinned against God. I say it not because I've heard all the reports, but I know what we are, that you may have said things you shouldn't have said, and failed to do what you should have done. I'm afraid that you may have had such a nice time together talking about everything and nothing and forgotten God." So easily that happens, doesn't it, in a crowd? Afraid you got too carried away in enjoying the gifts and forgetting the giver. My mistaken children. And maybe there was a son who hung his head in shame and said, "Father, you're right. I have sinned." And then Job didn't simply shout at him and say, "What a bad son you are." He said, "Son, There's a sacrifice. And that guilty son would lay his hand upon the head of that offering, the head of that animal, that lamb, let's say. As it were, confessing his sin, as it were, transferring that sin upon to the head of that lamb. And then that lamb's neck was slit and the blood poured out. And it was a message that my sin is so bad that I must die. But it was a message, there is a substitute that will die in your place so that you don't have to die. And that offering was placed upon the altar and the smoke rose up unto God, and it was accepted by God. Can I put it in New Testament language? It's a parent here who says to a child who says, I've done wrong and I've sinned, that says, child, there's a lamb. There's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. And therefore, come, let us kneel before that God and let us plead that blood of Christ. And you may know that there's forgiveness with God for the sake of that blood of Christ. Was there another child who said, yes, Father, I carry with me that sinful heart. And we're here at the beginning of a day and I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go into this day with a sinful heart like mine. I'm afraid I will sin. And I will also say farewell to God and forget God. And what did Job do? Offered up a sacrifice also for that one. He knew only one remedy, shown in the sacrifice. Come, daughter, place your hand upon the head of this lamb. Confess your sin. See, O God has provided a substitute to take it away. See that animal wholly offered unto God before such grace. Is this God not worthy of your whole heart, of your whole life? And is that grace not sufficient also to cleanse your heart so that you would go through this day in devotion to Him? Can I say it in today's language? Child, you begin a new day with a sinful heart. And I don't just give you rules for today. This is what you are to do and this is what you're not to do. But child, I point you to the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. For the sake of that blood, the Holy Spirit cleanses from idols. He says, I will cleanse you from all your idols so that you will be devoted to me. Child, there is such grace for the sake of that sacrifice in God, all the grace you need to indeed be devoted to God. Let us go. Let us kneel. Let us seek that grace. Was there also another son of Job? Maybe a son who kept quiet. Son who didn't want to admit the sinfulness of his heart. Son who wanted to do his own thing. Well, Job offers a sacrifice for him as well. Because he knows that son needs the sacrifice as much as any other son. And that very refusal to see and to grieve over his sin and to confess his sin only showed the more how guilty he was and how much he needed that atonement and that cleansing in the sacrifice. Again, to use today, it's to say, child, you think you don't need Christ. And that only shows you need him the more. You think you can live without him, and that only shows how sinful your heart is and how much you need that cleansing. Will you not cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner? Because, son, there is forgiveness with him, even for hard-hearted sinners. There's cleansing for such. Job offered burnt offerings, it says, according to the number of them all. They may have all been different. Maybe in different spiritual conditions. We don't know much about them. But Job knew they all need the same thing. And it's also striking, isn't it? He offered one sacrifice for each of those 10 children. It was such a personal message to each one of those children. Isn't that how God comes to us as well? What did the Lord teach us in our baptism? He came to us, to each one personally. The sacrifice, the blood, the cleansing, also for you, also for you, also for you. So personally, showing that this is something which is so personal. What a message. So that each child here, however young you may be, would bow your knees and say, Lord, I've seen it this morning. There's cleansing even for a sinner like me. I've heard it. God is willing and able also to me to cleanse me. So personally, my baptism shows it. Wash me. And he does. That also as adults and parents, with all the failures that come to light, as we hear what a parent ought to be, as the grace of God in Job is set before us, where else will we go as parents than to this fountain open for sin and uncleanness that flows from the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come, young or old, whoever we may be, whether we are decent or whether we are wayward or whether we are God's child or whether we are still lost, whoever we are, it's about the sacrifice and about the blood and about the cleansing that gives access unto God, makes it right with God, and washes sin away and delivers from its power. That's the focus of Job and his parenting. The gospel of this Christ. Baptism has declared it already. All our cleansing and all our sanctification. It never comes from here, but it comes from him and is in him. Where else can I bring you than continually to seek that grace? That's our final point. Not only Job's spiritual concern, his spiritual cleansing, but also his spiritual consistency. We see something of his earnestness already in that he rose up early, right? It was the first thing upon his mind. It wasn't just, I have to sometime talk to my children. And that sometime becomes tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And God forbid it be too late. The child dies. Early in the morning, he rises up to do so. Different also from those who may be so busy with so many things as parents. And we neglect the souls of our children. Perhaps because we neglect our own soul. Early in the morning. But then notice how beautifully it says at the end of our verse, thus did Job continually. Continually. You know, sometimes there's troubles in life and then you begin to really pray. And then things go well outwardly and then it fades away. Or you see very obvious concerns about your children and then you so pray for your children and then when outwardly things seem to go well and they aren't too much of a problem and then don't really pray anymore. But Job did so continually, it says, he continued on because he knew whether they are walking in the right way or in the wrong way, they always need that blood. They always need this God. And so he continually sacrificed for them and with them and prayed for them and with them. And he continued to use these means of grace that God had given to receive that grace. What a lesson. That we would not just have spurts when we speak to our children, when we sing at the dinner table, when we read a good book to them, and then it fades away again. That there's that consistency. Consistency also in the use of the means of grace as Job used them in searching the scriptures, in prayer, but also in gathering together it with the congregation under the means of grace, under the ministry of reconciliation. How important that is also as parents, that children have that sense. It's not optional to go to church. Of course we go. Every time. Continually. Thus did Job continually. And in that he showed a true spiritual concern for himself and his children. Isn't that such a blessing? To be such a parent was a consistency. What is the secret to that consistency in Job? Was it not that this was not just a religious duty, I better offer a sacrifice because that's the thing you do? No, he could not live without it. He could not live without seeking the face of God through that sacrifice and receiving the grace of God through that sacrifice. He could not, that was his life. He knew that all the fear of God flowed from a meeting of God at the altar, where he confessed his sin and where he prayed to God and where the grace of God flowed down and the cleansing of God flowed down to him. Does that echo in you? Whoever you are, I can't live without this Christ, this grace, this sacrifice, without prayer to him. And receiving from God through him by his Spirit. But also, it is good for me to draw near to God. Those are actually the best times in my life. By the altar. Access to God through that new and living way opened up by his blood. Those are the best times in my life. My friend, if you miss that, whether you're a child or whether you're a parent, know that there is a sacrifice sufficient to cleanse you, to restore you to God. And there's a God whose grace is great enough to address your every need. And there's a Spirit who is powerful enough to clear everything away between you and God and draw you. And this triune God's name is placed upon you, showing his willingness, his ability, so that you would plead his own name. Lord, do so for thy own name's sake. And if you know something of that dependence on the Lord, then seek him more. Seek him more for yourself and for your children. And let your hope be not your consistency, because you find you are not what you should be. But let your hope be his consistency, his faithfulness to His words, then your hope may be in Him, who in boundless mercy fulfills His words, and who keeps His truth forever. And then, whatever happens, oh, what a blessing to see the Lord do so, to see the Lord fulfill His word also in your children. What a blessing if when they come to die, you may know Christ, God, has taken them home. There would be grief, terrible grief. And yet that hope, the fulfillment of that prayer we prayed, that they would be presented without terror before the Lord to be with Him forever. Parents, see here in Job the grace of God, and let it constrain us, young and old. Seek ye Jehovah. Amen.